MyFWC.com. Life jackets save lives. Where at Florida? Mainly sunny and quite pleasant outside this afternoon's high 84 to 88. A starlit sky tonight's low 66 to 70. Sunny to partly cloudy skies on Saturday, high 86 to 90. From the Florida Weather Center, I'm Michael Stack.
Weather brought to you by Total Air Solutions. Sweating? Hot? AC breaking down? Call 877-TOTAL-AIR or go to TotalAirFL.com.
WCCF News Radio 1580.
Good morning and welcome to the slippery slope of lipids and other medical issues brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte. This is a live call-in talk show, so if you have a question or want to make a comment at some point in the next half hour, you can certainly do so. We welcome you at 206-1580. Or 888-441-1580. And now here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. And I want to thank Jennifer for doing a wonderful program last week.
She did.
She did great on breast cancer. And because this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we have an incredible guest. We have Dr. Melvin Katzen, who I'm going to introduce. And I just want to let everybody know I went to the most incredible conference. It's called the North American Society, the North American Menopause Society, and it was 4 days of menopause, and it was wonderful, and all about menopause and aging and sexuality. So it is, I have so much information. I'm so excited. But because this is October Breast Month, mm-hmm. we have a wonderful radiologist, Dr. Melvin Katzen, who has actually been here since 1969, mm-hmm. chief of radiology at Charlotte Regional from 1969 to 2002. And he is owner of Southwest Florida Regional Imaging Center. He brought to this area the first prostate ultrasound, the first MRI, the first low-dose mammogram. He is a medical pioneer. He also graduated from University of Miami, went to Mount Sinai in New York. He has his boards in radiology, nuclear medicine, radiation therapy, and he's the only radiologist in Charlotte County who is a fellow of the American College of Radiology. We are really lucky to have you. Welcome, Dr. Katzen.
Well, thank you, Dr. Triana. Nice to be here with you.
Oh, I'm so excited. And I have, so many questions. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of what is a mammogram, what happens, because we're going to debunk all these myths that women have about mammograms. So, Dr. Katzen, could you describe to us first, what is a mammogram and why do we get it done?
Well, sure. In the early 60s, several radiologists decided that they would try and look at the breast with film that was being used to look for cracks in metal things like airplanes and landing gear parts and whatever. And they did that with the conventional X-ray tubes. And they did that with conventional X-ray tubes, and they found that they could discover tumors of the breast before the patients could feel them, or before the other doctors could feel them.
Wow!
Now the industry has moved forward since that time, trying to reduce the dose of radiation required, because the original mammograms used industrial X-ray film, which was very, very high dose. Today, we don't even use film when we do a mammogram, when we take an X-ray of the breast. We use what's called a digital plate, and the amount of radiation is drastically reduced, even from the low-dose mammogram, which used a high-sensitivity film. By eliminating the film all completely, and using just electronic detectors, we've reduced the dose about 75%. Well, what is the dose? If you live in Denver.
Okay, because a lot of women will get, they say, oh, I don't want a mammogram. It's going to give me radiation to my breast, and it's going to cause cancer.
Yes. Well, if you live in Denver and live versus living here in Punta Gorda, the difference in radiation you get by living in Denver is about the radiation dose you get from a mammogram these days.
Okay.
It is so the dose is so minimal that it's doubtful whether there is any there really is no medical evidence that the dose of radiation we're using now is, in the long run, that produces any additional breast cancers. I know that ladies are fearful of that, but they really need to know that the dose now is so low that there are people who are living in this country who are getting more radiation to their whole body than we would just give to the breast in a day.
Okay, so let's debunk the myth. Mammograms do not cause you to have breast cancer.
No.
Okay? The radiation is very, very low. And you get radiation if you were to live in Denver. Or what about flying in an airplane?
Well, flying in an airplane, yes, you do have. The people who work in aviation workers are subject to a tremendous amount of radiation coming from space. But only for a very short time while they're in the air. Once they're on the ground, it's all over. Most of that radiation is absorbed by the atmosphere.
Okay, so that's really important. If anybody has a question, you know, we do have the lines 206-1580 or 888-441-1580. Okay, Dr. Katzen, I think you made it very clear. Many times women are asked to get an ultrasound of their breast. And in light of that, I know a lot of states are passing laws that the radiologist needs to tell the patient what is a dense breast. So could you explain to us what is a dense breast and what does an ultrasound do?
Well, ultrasonography is like a depth finder on a boat. Most of us have seen a depth finder on a boat because we've been, especially here in Charlotte Harbor, many of us have been on a boat, and what it does, it puts us a high-frequency sound wave and listens for the echoes that are coming back from whatever happens to be in front of that sound wave. And the computer that's attached to the device then either converts that into a fish, if you're in a boat, or
okay,
to various tissue densities that if we do the breast or the gallbladder or the liver or other organs. Now, the advantage of ultrasound is that there is no radiation with ultrasound, but it is energy. And the ultrasound can resolve and show us things that we can't see on a mammogram. Remember, about 15%, less than that, about 10% of breast cancers are invisible on mammography. We just don't see them.
Okay.
Sometimes patients feel a nodule, or the doctor feels the nodule, and we just don't see it. And in that situation, adding the ultrasound examination to the breast examination increases our sensitivity. What I mean by sensitivity, increases our ability to discover a tumor if it's there. It also allows us to differentiate a solid lesion from a cystic lesion. Women know that they get cysts in their breast, and cysts have a very characteristic appearance on ultrasound and are much different than the solid lesions. The other thing we can do with ultrasound is we actually can see the blood supply of a mass. In other words, if we see a mass and it's solid, we can tell whether it's a vascular mass or not, and that helps predict what the abnormality might be.
Okay, that I think that really explains it very well. So there is women, and there's another modality to look at the breast, and that's called the MRI of the breast. So could you explain that to us, please, and what happens?
Well, an MRI of the breast, we do is another way of imaging the breast, or like in the rest of the body. But with MRI of the breast, we inject some contrast material, the same kind of contrast material we would use if we were doing a brain MRI or a liver MRI or a kidney MRI. And we know that a negative, in other words, a normal MRI of the breast, has a 99% negative predictive value. In other words, if we see something in the breast and we're not quite sure what it is or what it might be, and we do an MRI and it does not localize this contrast material, we can be very, very sure that this is not a cancer.
Okay. And I know that it's recommended also in very high-risk women, the MRI?
Yes. I mean, MRI of the breast, because of its negative predictive value, if you have a high risk and you have a negative MRI, at least at that moment in time, you can be very certain there's nothing growing there.
Okay. Well, a lot of women complain, it hurts, they have to press my breast. And how long does a mammogram take, really? I mean, I've had one, and I remember it was very quick. And I'm a big girl, and they press on your breast, but it didn't hurt.
Well, most of the time using the examination is positioning to make sure that the breast is in the right position for the photo that we need to take. The compressions we use in the breast are just mainly to decrease the thickness of the breast so that we use less radiation, and also the breast tends to have, because of its shape and size, a lot of structures in the breast are one on top of the other. And if we add a little bit of compression, we can spread that out and make the and increase the diagnostic sensitivity of the examination.
And how often, do you recommend, Dr. Katzen, that people get a mammogram?
Well, there's various health organizations have come out with statements as to when a woman should have her first mammogram, and that really is a key. If you have a high family incidence of breast cancer, in other words, you had a mother, a grandmother, an aunt, or an uncle who had breast cancer, then you should have your first mammogram in your 30s, 35. But if you have not, and there's no history of breast cancer in your family, 40 would be a good age, the best age to start, and then annually thereafter. Now, people think, well, when do you stop? Well, this year I saw a patient 93 years old with a breast cancer, and I saw a patient 17 years old with a breast cancer. So those people are outliers. They're way out at the periphery of incidence, but if you have a strong family history, you should continue to have your mammograms well up into your 90s.
Well, I know you're right. There's different organizations. There's also a predictive model called the Gale model, which helps predict your risk for breast cancer. But I know there's even some studies about whether we should be examining our breast or not. And I have found that many times women will find a lesion. Do you not find that?
Yes, 15% of the cancers are discovered by the patient themselves. So you'll see conflicting articles about whether self-examination is productive. I think it's very productive. We probably find more things that are normal. In other words, women feel little lumps or bumps in their breasts, and they say, oh, what is this? They go to the doctor, and we wind up studying it, and it turns out to be nothing to be concerned about. But what if it is something to be concerned about? A lot of times you can't tell the difference until we get into the imaging arena.
Well, I find that a lot of women need to be really astute. They need to look at themselves in a mirror, look at their breast, to see, is there any discoloration, any change in the skin? Is there a discharge coming from their breast? Is one breast, normally one breast is always larger than the other, but is there a great, do you not find that just by eyeing, women need to be more astute?
Sure, there are several signs that are very, very important. In other words, if one breast is a little bit redder than the other breast, in other words, there seems to be more, some inflammation there. If the skin over the breast is retracted, we call that dimpling. That's an important sign. another, these are signs just by looking. If the nipple, if the woman's nipple who was normal and then all of a sudden becomes inverted, in other words, it kind of retracts into the brown area, the areola of the breast, those are very, very important signs that need to be dealt with. Many of the times there's nothing major happening, but most we never know until we start to look.
And what about men? Men need to look too, don't they?
Yes. We have in our practice in the last 6 months sort of an epidemic of men. Not so much to have cancer, but we've had men who have swelling of the breast. And they have tenderness in the breast. And they have something they can feel in the breast. And when we study them the same as we do with women. We do a mammogram. We do an ultrasound. We see an inflammatory reaction just deep to the colored portion of their breast. Well, what causes that? Some of the cardiac medicines and the medicines that men are being put on to shrink their prostate or to allow them to void more easily, some of those medicines will cause changes in the male breast.
Okay.
And the funny thing for us is that we've noticed this is almost always in the left breast. I don't understand that. But this is just personal experience of a few cases. So our experience may be unusual at this time, but we have seen that now, I would say, 8 or 9 times this year.
So all of out there listening, remember, men, this is important. Men can get breast cancer. You need to look at your chest, look at your breast, and see if there's any abrupt changes. You know, being in tune to our bodies is so important. A lot of women have had plastic surgery. They've had breast implants. Is that going to affect their mammograms?
We can see the implants on the mammogram, and it does not really affect our ability, the sensitivity or specificity of the mammogram.
Okay.
Now, I have to say that years ago, women used unusual ways to increase their breast size. And many times a silicone material was injected directly into the breast.
Ooh.
And that silicone material can migrate to other parts of the body. But the implants that are being done now and have been done probably for the last 10 or 15 years are all saline, but most of them are saline-based implants, have no silicone in them, and are well-tolerated and do not really change the appearance of the breast.
Oh, well, except for externally, of course. Yeah. Well, the other question I have, which being that I spent a whole 4 or 5 days about menopause, how does the breast change after menopause? Now, we all know that after menopause, as one of my nurses say, gravity is not always our friend. Things start to gravitate downwards in some women. But how does that breast tissue change? And what does it look like different on a mammogram from a young breast?
Well, remember, the breast, embryologically, the breast starts out as a sweat gland. And so there are a lot of glands in the breast, and those glands are supported by the woman's hormonal matrix. And as one gets older and their hormones change and the amount of estrogen that they produce as a woman goes down, the breast tissue, the glandular tissue, tends to atrophy. In other words, it gets smaller and smaller, and what's left after that are the support structures of the breast and the fat that the glandular tissue was in to begin with. Now, that doesn't happen in all ladies. And many women now are on hormone replacement therapy, and that certainly slows down that process as well. So we'll see people in their 70s that look like they're in their 50s. Well, they're in their 70s because they look like, because their hormonal balance is closer to being 50 than 70.
So when it says fatty replaced, that's when they get older?
That's when you get, yes, that's when when the glandular tissue is pretty much gone and the remaining portion of the breast is just is fat, blood vessels, and support structures. The breast has little fibers in it to hold it up, and those are the fibers that fight gravity, and gravity fights the fibers.
Okay, so I know at your center, and I've had some patients had a procedure called a needle localization. Could you explain what is that and what does that entail?
Well, if we see something in the breast that has to be surgically excised, and it's deep in the breast, and it's about the size of a pea, you can imagine the task the surgeon would have trying to find that pea deep in that breast. So what we do is we, using local anesthesia, introduce a very fine needle from through the skin into the breast and into that lesion.
Okay.
And once that's done, then the patient can leave our department because it's done under just local anesthesia like the dentist would use. And then the surgeon can just take out the hook that's at the end of that needle. The hook at the end of the needle looks a little bit like a fish hook.
And then I know after they take the biopsy out, then you X-ray it again?
Yes, then the tissue is sent to us to X-ray to make sure that we got that little pea that we're talking about. And then the material is then sent to the pathology lab for analysis.
That's very interesting, isn't it? So it could really localize and get more precise to get what's suspicious?
Well, the real advantage, too, is there's much less deformity if the surgeon has to take out less tissue and make a smaller incision as well.
Okay, well, that's really very, very interesting. I don't know if anyone has any questions. You can call us at 206-1580. At your center, I know you have a dedicated area for the women to have their mammogram, and you try to keep everybody very comfortable. I know because I myself have had my mammogram there. And you also give a little gift to your patients and make them feel good?
Sure. I mean, well, that keeps changing. It's just whatever. You know, right now we're giving out little tiny shopping bags. But of course, it's like wearing a T-shirt with somebody's logo on it. So if you go shopping and you see our logo, well, then you'll think, hopefully people will think about coming to us for their services.
Mm-hmm. I really want to stress the importance of the mammogram for women, again, because of early detection. And I think that's the whole thing that we try to promote at the Triana Prevention Center.
Well, let me just say this, and it's hard for the public to really realize this, but a tumor that is, let's say, 1 centimeter. Now, what's 1 centimeter? It's about 1/3 of an inch. Has about 1 billion cells in it.
Oh, wow.
So a tumor that's 2 centimeters has a lot more cells in it. And the sooner we find tumors and the sooner they're excised, the less chance they have to spread to other parts of the body. It's just that simple.
That's why early detection is so important. And that's why it's important, because a mammogram we'll pick up something before we can even feel it, right?
Yes. I mean, that's our goal. Our goal is to pick up the small tumors before they're clinically evident. That means that somebody could feel it, either the patient or a doctor. Now the unfortunate thing is that we can't see all the tumors are not seen on mammography, nor are all the tumors seen on ultrasound. But the combination of physical examination, ultrasonography, and mammography will probably pick up 98% of the tumors.
That's great. That's really great. And of course, again, if you're in a higher risk group, you need to be more aware. If your mother, a first-degree relative, had breast cancer, if you're overweight, if you're a smoker, right? All these are other risks.
Well, there are a variety of risks. There's a congenital risk. There's a gene called the BRCH gene. that has a very, very high incidence of associated cancer. And the ladies can be checked for that gene, and then they have a very difficult decision to make because those cancers are frequently bilateral, and some women choose to have a simple mastectomy with a plastic surgeon in the operating room reconstructing the breast at the time because we know there's no invasive cancer at the time things are taken out.
And what about in the women, because you were saying about the BRCA gene, isn't there also a very high incidence of breast cancer in women who were younger who had radiation to their neck or to their chest?
Dr. Triana, I really can't comment on that because I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. Well, I know that this has been very, very interesting to describe what are the different modalities that you can do to help detect breast cancer. We've discussed about the MRI, the ultrasound of the breast, the mammogram, and I can say, being a woman, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't cause cancer, and we all should be in tune to our bodies, examine our breast, look at our skin, be aware. It's very important.
We think so, yeah.
It's very, very important. And it's important that it also can happen in men.
Actually, I was going to ask if I could ask a question because as Dr. Trent, you know, I have another radio program, and I've spent the last, I don't know how many years in October, emphasizing that this is something men have to pay attention to as well.
Right.
The statistics, obviously, it's much smaller percentage, but we can't ignore it. So in a man, if there's a mammogram that's necessary, that can be done, obviously, but there's not as much tissue there. Does it make it more uncomfortable for a man?
No, it's not any more uncomfortable for a man than it is for a woman. Of course, a man's breast is shaped a little bit obviously different than women, but some women don't have very much breast tissue either. Uh-huh. And the technologists who we have are all certified and trained to respond, to adjust the equipment to be able to get a good picture no matter what, how much or how little breast they have. There's a great variation from amongst women, too. I mean, uh-huh. There's just...
I'm glad to hear that because I would like to be able to pass that on to my other radio audience. Men, if you are concerned, it is not any more uncomfortable than for
now. Now, the other thing is, in a man, it's really very important to find these tumors early because breast cancer in the man is always a little bit more aggressive than breast cancer in a woman.
That is also
that's
good
my
to know.
Experience. And, yeah.
So it's important that men also, and you know, a lot of times when people examine their breasts, you cannot forget. Underneath your armpits, which we call the axillae, you should check there for any lumps or lymph nodes, we call them. So you need to check that. That's very important. And above the clavicles, too. When I show my patients how to examine themselves, I tell them, don't forget, it isn't just the breast, it's the axillae. And men need to check that, too.
Well, that's true, because sometimes little tiny tumors will spread, and the signs of spread are the first signs of the tumor rather than discovering the very tiny primary, what we call primary tumor.
Well, I want to thank everyone today, and thank you, Dr. Katzen, for being our guest.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. And remember, the Triana Prevention Center, if you have any questions, you can ask Dr. Triana at trianapreventioncenter.com. And remember, we're here because we want more good years.